You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 20th of January 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I've got some interesting news here to begin with, and some immigration statistics to look at later on in the programme. This first bit of news here is quite encouraging, actually. For quite a while now, there's been pushback from the general public at what's going on and the enforcement of multiculturalism and this woke agenda. But we haven't seen much of a pushback from the establishment, from celebrities, actors, musicians, things like that. I can think of Morrissey. That's just about the only musician who has questioned what is going on. But just last week we had Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes pointing out the hypocrisies of the leftist agenda, and now we've finally had an actor speaking up, and in one of the most unexpected places as well, actually on the BBC Question Time. And Question Time is I'm supposed to describe it as a rigged programme, I guess. They have an audience there that's hand-picked. Most of them, a vast majority of them, support leftist ideals. Just about all of them will be picked to support diversity, because both on the supposed right and on the left support the diversity agenda, as we see. Both the Labour and the Conservatives support diversity, so they pick an audience that also supports diversity. About the furthest to the right that they would ever get on there is Nigel Farage. They famously once had Nick Griffin on there, who spectacularly made a fool of himself when he was actually given a chance to speak up about the questions that we have about the Holocaust, and he didn't. And that was just about the only time there's ever been a nationalist that was actually on there. And last week they had this actor on there who's called Lawrence Fox. Now, I haven't heard of him before. Apparently he was married to Billy Piper. I mean, I don't really know the names of these television actors nowadays. I don't really watch television apart from the news. I'm far more interested in user-generated content, and I think the documentaries that we put out, stuff like The Greatest Story Never Told, Europa, The Last Battle, things like that, I think are far superior to anything that the BBC or Sky or any of that put out. So I'm not really sure who he is or how famous he is, but he's certainly a lot more famous now after the comments that he made on BBC Question Time. The article that I have here is just particularly about the comments he made about racism, but he also highlighted the ridiculousness of the feminist agenda. He was questioned as to who he would like to see win the Labour leadership challenge, and he said, I think Keir Starmer should take over from Magic Grandpa. And Shami Chakrabarti, the leader of who's in charge of Liberty, I guess. I'm not quite sure of her role, but she's responsible for this group called Liberty, and she's I think she's a Labour grandee. They made her into a Labour, a lady rather. She said, "Well, what about the women? What about the women?" And he said, "Oh yes, of course, any woman will do." And of course, Shami Chakrabarty was rather shocked at that. But it's a fantastic comeback just to say, oh, well, any woman will do, of course. Why do you need anybody with any merit? Why do you need anybody with any qualifications? Let's just put somebody in there because she's a woman. And this was seen as quite shocking, but he improved upon that when he was asked about Meghan and Harry. And I have this report here. I think it's from ITV originally. Lawrence Fox has been rebuked by the industry's union over his remarks on racism on BBC Question Time. The actor was branded a white privileged male by an audience member after he called accusations of racism in media coverage of the Duchess of Sussex as boring. Well, it's worse than boring, it's insulting. The mainstream media hasn't been racist in the coverage of Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle makes race central in everything that she does. She keeps talking about her community, and what she means by her community is the non-white community. It's Meghan Markle that makes race central to everything. And why is it racist or being white privileged? Just to say that it's getting rather boring to see these accusations of racism in the media. I think that's what the general public are feeling. He told the woman that she was racist on the debate show, sparking a heated row on Twitter. And of course, if you're going to accuse somebody of being a white privileged male, by the standards of what racism means, discriminating against somebody on the basis of race, that term, white privileged male, is quite clearly racist. And yet for some reason, people think that it's perfectly okay to use it. It's like the term gammon. When you call somebody a gammon, that's quite clearly a racially based term to use. And yet the left think that they're quite entitled to use this term, and then they will criticize us for using a similar term to describe somebody who is non-white. Now, this is before we even get into them calling him privileged. White people aren't privileged. It was not privilege that got us to the position that we are in the world. It was hard work and self-sacrifice. Our ancestors withstood incredible hardships in travelling around the world and building civilizations there and carrying out experiments and working all the hours that God sends in order to create things and build things and provide for their descendants, to provide for their posterity. And obviously what is implied in that is that we should be doing the same. We should be working as hard as we can to provide for our posterity. The idea that it's somehow a privilege that we have all this in our countries is just an insult. Again, it's racist. It's saying that we've only got these things just because we're white. And it's not. It's because we worked hard to produce these things. And we still work hard today. If you look at the leaders of countries like Iran and these countries that are in the third world, they were all educated in Britain. They were all educated in the West because we have the best education systems here. And again, that's through hard work. So he told the woman that she was the one that was actually being racist. And now the actors' union Equity has waded in, calling him a disgrace to our industry. And of course, there have been other people in the industry who have spoken up and said, well, Equity is certainly not speaking for me when they say this. And Mr. Fox, who starred in the ITV detective drama Lewis, was discussing Meghan Markle's treatment by parts of the British media when academic Rachel Boyle challenged his stance. Sat in the audience, Miss Boyle said, let's be really clear about what this is. Let's call it by its name. It's racism. She's a black woman, and she has been torn to pieces. She hasn't been torn to pieces for being a black woman. She's been criticised for her partiality to non-whites, to feminist causes, for her hypocrisy, for her expecting to have a cake and eat it too. At no instance has she been discriminated against for being black. Nobody has ridiculed her for being black. That just hasn't been a part of the mainstream narrative at all. But this is just, this accusation of racism is just always used in for the same reasons, to cover up the failures that non-whites make. They refuse to actually own their own mistakes and insist on blaming white people for them. The actor responded, "It's not racism. We are the most tolerant, lovely country in Europe. It is so easy to just throw your charge of racism at everybody, and it's starting to get boring now." And of course, this has caused him to get masses of support. He's got loads of followers now on Twitter. He's being really held up as somewhat of a folk hero for pointing this out and actually speaking for the majority of the people in Britain. We are incredibly tolerant. We have laws in place to try and prevent us from criticising non-whites. We have diversity quotas in place at places like the BBC, insisting that only non-whites can be given the job, and white people shouldn't even bother applying. In the fire service, in the police force, we have these adverts saying that only non-whites, ethnic minorities, should bother applying. So how can you say that a country that does that is somehow discriminating against non-whites? The country is discriminating against white people, exactly the same as this Miss Boyle is doing. Miss Boyle responded, "What worries me about your comment is you are a white, privileged male." Well, he could say that he was born into a well-off family. But how do these families get well-off in the first place? Well, they get well-off because they have high IQ. You have parents with a high IQ and a good work ethic, and they work hard, and they save, and they provide for their children, and they carefully pick a partner who is similar to them, and they end up creating children that also have a high IQ and a good work ethic. So it's not just privilege here, it's sensible behaviour by the parents, by the grandparents, and passing on good genes. That's the reason why he's in the position that he is in. The Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts graduate rolled his eyes as he replied, "I can't help what I am. I was born like this. It's an immutable characteristic. So to call me a white privileged male is to be racist. You are being racist." And he's being exactly accurate here. And this is the thing. Non-whites think that it's impossible for non-whites to be racist. Only white people can be racist, because they claim that white people have all the power. To which you can respond, well, if white people have all the power, why do we make these laws that are aimed specifically only at white people? Why do we make laws to prevent white people from criticizing non-whites? Why do we make laws that penalise white people more than non-whites in an instance where they can say that it was a racially aggravated crime? Then that means that the white person is going to be punished more than a black person would be if a black person had carried out the crime. It used to be that motive wasn't important. What was important was whether you had carried out the act that was against the law or not. And nowadays, it's all about motive. It's all about emotions. It's all about whether you disliked the race or the religion of the supposed victim that determines whether or not it's a crime, or determines what the punishment is going to be. How could you say that that white people have all the power in a society which penalises whites, which tells them that they can't apply for jobs in positions in the BBC and and in the police force, you know, decent jobs. We used to be told that non-whites were coming over here to do the jobs that white people don't want to do. Are you telling me that white people don't want to be politicians, don't want to be in the BBC, don't want to be actors? And this is the other thing. If we were a racist country, then how come we have black MPs? We have quite a few black MPs. If we were somehow discriminating against non-whites, then we wouldn't allow that. I don't think we should allow that anyway. I don't think we should allow foreigners to be ruling over us. I mean, it's just basic common sense that you wouldn't want that. In the same way that Indians didn't want white people ruling over them. And as soon as we felt that the Indians could rule over themselves, were capable of doing that, because don't forget, they were pretty uncivilized when we first went over there. They were killing one another. As soon as we felt that they were capable of doing that, we handed self-rule over to them, because we knew that they wouldn't want white people ruling over them in the same way that white people don't want blacks ruling over them. And yet, for some reason, we've allowed that to happen. So all these things prove that the country isn't racist. It's the same as in America when you have a black president, you have Obama there. I mean, that just shows that, no, the country is not racist. It's a great insult to call people racist when they have actually done all that they possibly can to make people feel welcome. The exchange sparked a Twitter storm, dividing thousands of users. It also prompted the Creative Arts Trade Union Equity, which boasts of 47,000 members, to publicly condemn the actor. "We call on all Equity members to unequivocally denounce Lawrence Fox and his comments," the union's Minority Ethnic Committee said, accusing him of disgraceful playing to the gallery, a populist tirade with women of colour being used as cannon fodder. And of course, that was sent by their Minority Ethnic Committee. It wasn't actually sent out by Equity. It was sent out by the diversity part of Equity. The tweets have since been deleted, with the union later saying they were sent without consultation with all Equity staff. Of course, the Minority Ethnic Committee thought that they could just speak for everybody, of course. Equity has asked for the tweets to be taken down while a more considered response to the issue is discussed, it said. I mean, what business is it of the actors' union, Equity, to have to make a comment on this? I mean, this is just an actor's private views. That's what he's there on Question Time for, to give his personal views on questions that are put to him by the audience. Mr. Fox, who attended Harrow Public School, continued to defend his comments following the condemnation. Now, of course, from the tone of that sentence, you can see that he was expected to start grovelling and apologising and saying how sorry he is for offending the feelings of the woman of colour, for saying that he was getting bored of racism accusations about Meghan Markle. So what he did, he posted a picture of Martin Luther King on his Twitter feed with the quote from Martin Luther King, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character." And of course, that is exactly what's going on when people start going on about white privilege. They're judging people simply by, and this is their terminology, by the colour of their skin. Because, of course, race is a lot more than just skin colour, as we know. So this, you know, there is no getting around this. To the word itself, white privilege, is quite clearly a racist word. But if you wanted to live in a nation where nobody would ever be judged by the colour of their skin or what race they are, then you would live in an ethnically homogenous nation. You know, how is anybody going to be judged differently by whatever race they are if they live within their race, if they live within their nation? And this is the simple solution to all these problems. Accompanying the quote, Mr. Fox wrote, "This is the position I took last night and I live by in life. If you can improve upon it, I am all ears. Or you can keep screeching racist at me, and I can carry on having a jolly good giggle at your expense. The tide is turning. And it is turning. And this is a really good sign of it, that people in the establishment, celebrities like him, are starting to point out this hypocrisy. He later added, "My cup, it overfloweth with leftist tears." Of course, he has the general public on his side. We just proved that with the election, where all the Remainers were voted out of office, and the closest we have to a populist politician was voted into office. I mean, this is the general feeling amongst the British population. We are sick and tired of being called racist just for pointing out things that are common sense. And as I say, there's another report that's out today with some statistics. This one comes from the BBC. People born in Britain to migrant parents are more likely to feel discriminated against than migrants who are new to the UK, research suggests. Now, I wonder why that might be. Might it possibly be because people born in Britain to migrant parents have been brought up and educated to be told that they are discriminated against? Whereas migrants that are new to the UK are used to their own countries and realise that actually they have it 100,000 times better in Britain than they ever did in their own countries. That's the reason why they come here. That once they've been here for a while, of course, they get used to the idea of just screaming racism at people and then being given whatever it is they are demanding. Evidence from two 2018 surveys points to ethnicity being at the root of any perceived discrimination rather than a person's status as a migrant. And of course, people do discriminate, whether it's consciously, whether it's unconsciously. People discriminate amongst white people. If you see a white person that you think doesn't look very trustworthy, then you're going to be a little bit careful around them. But this idea of racism means that if you see somebody that's non-white and you think they don't look very trustworthy, you're going to be accused of racism for doing that. I mean, the whole point of discrimination is to discriminate between what's good for us and what is bad for us. And the whole of learning is based upon discriminating between the differences between things. And we get more accurate at determining these differences. And that's how we learn. That's how we learn more about life. And this whole idea of racism is anti-science. It's anti-nature. It's just Luddite, basically. It's just destructive. I mean, we really need to learn as much as we can about racial differences in order to help us to make the right decisions, make the right policies. And of course, if we were to do that, we would see that segregation is the best policy. And of course, those on the left who want to destroy white people and destroy the nation, they don't want people to discover that. So they push this idea of racism all the time. Among immigrants, more than 70% say Britain is welcoming, and 90% believe migrants can make it if they work hard. So what do we see there? Well, we see that 70% of people coming to Britain agree with Mr. Fox when he said that Britain is welcoming and is good to migrants in question time. So the immigrants agree with him. It's just the ones that are actually living here that don't, because they've got on the racism gravy train. More non-EU migrants feel that they face prejudice than those from Europe. Well, of course they would do, wouldn't they? Because they're not a part of our family. They're not a part of our extended family. EU migrants look like us. They behave like us. And that's because they're part of our extended family. Non-EU migrants don't look like us. They don't behave like us. And they're not a part of our immediate family. In actual fact, they're a different subspecies of human to us. So, of course, they're going to be facing a certain amount of prejudice. I mean, the very fact that we do have different races shows that that's how we are supposed to be. We are supposed to not want to be around these people. If we were supposed to want to be around them, then everybody would just be all one race, which we aren't. So the natural default position is not to want to be around these people. And when you look at animals, you don't see sperm whales hanging around with blue whales and humpback whales. They hang around in their own pods. And that's the same throughout the animal world. And the animal world doesn't interbreed with one another either. It's a completely unnatural situation to force us all together into one territory. And even those who say that, oh, I'm not prejudiced, I'm not racist, their intuitions will be telling them to do the opposite of what they are actually doing. And we can tell from looking at children from the age of six months old that they would rather pick somebody of their own race than pick somebody that is not of their own race, because they feel instinctively that the person of their own race, of their own extended family, is going to be looking out for their interests better than somebody that's not from their extended family. We also know that when we are around our own people, we produce more oxytocin, which is the love hormone that bonds baby to mother. And if we are around non-whites, we don't produce this oxytocin. So people that are saying, well, I'm not discriminatory, I'm not prejudiced, their intuition is telling them that they should be doing something different, and they are ignoring what comes natural to them. The University of Oxford's Migration Observatory briefing, Migrants and Discrimination in the UK, is based upon data accrued in the European Social Survey and the UK Longevity Household Study in 2018. Amongst predominantly white migrants from the EU, only 8% say they feel they are discriminated against in Britain, while those from outside the EU are more than twice as likely to say they were part of a group that is discriminated against at 19%. And of course, that's because if we had freedom of association, we wouldn't want to associate with these people at all. We wouldn't want to sell our houses to them. We wouldn't want to give them jobs. We would want to look after our own extended family. But we are forced to do different to that. And as I say, the natural default position is to want to look after your own. So it's quite natural that they would feel that they are being discriminated against. As we would feel we were being discriminated against if we were to go to their countries. For second-generation migrants born in Britain, the sense of being discriminated against increases to 30%. 30%. So the ones that have just got here, only 19% say that they think they are discriminated against. But the ones that have been brought up here, who actually haven't been discriminated against because they've been given housing, they've been given education, they've been allowed into the NHS, they say 30% of them feel they're being discriminated against. And of course, that's because it's of benefit to them to say that. Dr. Maria Fernandez-Reno, researcher at the Migration Observatory and author of the briefing, described the reasons behind the perceived hostility as complex. Some UK-born minorities actually have worse outcomes than migrants, such as higher unemployment, she said. Well, why might that be? Might it be because they're quite happy to just live on the welfare benefits? I mean, they don't have them in their own countries, and they can come here and they can get paid a king's wage, basically. If you look at what they're paid in Africa, and they can come over here and there's no need for them to work. So long as they're being fed and they've got a roof over their heads, we know that blacks don't have the same desires to succeed in life that we do. They're much happier with having subsistence, basically. That's what we see happening in Africa. That's why Africa doesn't advance, because if they have what they need to live, then they don't really see the need to try and get more than that. Research also suggests that children of migrants who were born and raised here have higher expectations and so are more sensitive to inequalities or unequal treatment they encounter. So, of course, that's what they've been taught to think. They've been taught that in the schools, that they're being discriminated against and that there's prejudice against them. And that if they cry racism, then they will get what they want. And they will be excused their failures, and their failures will be blamed upon white people. It's a benefit for them to do this. By contrast, people who migrated here may compare their experience to life in their country of origin and feel that they have benefited from moving, even if they still face some disadvantages. Of course, I mean, the first world is obviously a lot better than the third world. That is the reason why they come here. Oxford Migration Observatory research on attitudes to immigration finds that more than a third of British people would want no Nigerians or Pakistanis to come to the UK, but just 1 in 10 would want to stop those from culturally close countries such as Australia. Well, Australia isn't just a culturally close country, is it? Australia was founded and pioneered by British people. British ethnic stock are in Australia. So, of course, we would like to have Australians here. And, of course, we would not like to have Nigerians and Pakistanis here. It's just common sense you wouldn't want another race on your territory. A third of British people were brave enough to say that, because, of course, don't forget that if you say that, you're going to be accused of being a racist when this survey was being carried out. And who have that third of the British people got speaking for them? We haven't got anybody that is speaking up in Parliament saying we don't want any Nigerians or Pakistanis here. You know, we are supposed to have democracy. We're supposed to have democratic representation. And this shows that a third of the British public don't have any democratic representation. And those of us who do speak out about this and try to represent the views and opinions of that third of the British public, we are constantly facing attempts to censor us and to shut us down and prevent us from speaking for these people. EU migrants have traditionally reported fewer experiences of discrimination than those born outside the EU. And of course, again, that's because they're part of our extended family. Since the end of World War II, immigration has transformed the UK. After the war, fewer than 1 in 25 of the population have been born outside the country, and today that figure is closer to 1 in 7. That's how many white people have been replaced just since the war. It was 1 in 25, and now it is 1 in 7. And we'll finish with some figures from the Migration Observatory. The size of the foreign-born population in the UK increased from about 5.3 million in 2004 to almost 9.3 million in 2018. So it doubled. It doubled in 14 years. The share of foreign-born people in the UK's total population increased from 9% in 2004 to 14% in 2018. During the same period, the share of foreign citizens rose from 5% to 9%. Just think, if it just doubled in 14 years, is it going to double again in another 14 years? So it's going to be almost half the population are non-white. In 2018, the most common reason that non-EU migrants gave for having originally moved to the UK was family. 49% of them said they moved here for family, followed by work, 20%. So if you wanted to stop that, all you would have to do is just say, well, the non-whites here, they can't bring their family here. What right have they got just to import their family into Britain, and once they are here, as we've just learned, they just go on unemployment benefit? That's why there's such a high portion of them that are unemployed. It can't be because they're being discriminated against, because just about every company and business in Britain is being encouraged to take on non-whites. They've got diversity quotas, as we see in the BBC and these other organisations that I mentioned before. Now, this Migration Observatory, they admit they have some evidence gaps and limitations. The APS has some limitations for estimating the dynamics of migrants in the UK. First, it does not measure the scale of irregular migration. So this is not including the illegal migrants. Second, it does not provide information on asylum seekers. Third, the APS excludes those who do not live in households, such as those in hotels, caravan parks and other communal establishments. The APS is therefore likely to underestimate the UK population of recent migrants. So it could be even more than that. It's about 15%, according to these figures. So it could be about 18%, even 20%, if you included all the illegal ones. And as I say, if you think, well, that just doubled in 14 years, that means in another 14 years, it could be 40% non-whites, which means 40% of the white population in Britain replaced by non-whites. That's why it's called replacement migration on the UN website. And that's why we call it the Great Replacement. All right, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.